Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
If you love your boxing and MMA, this is the show for you. Fight Night Extra with myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis. Today we are going to discuss a winning return for both Joe Joyce and Dillian White, who sent reminders to the rest of the heavyweight division with KO wins this weekend. We're going to look at who is likely to face the pair next. Some bad news for British fight fans. This came out last week. Josh Taylor versus Jack Catchell 2 has been postponed. Taylor is having difficulty, we're hearing, recovering from an eye injury. We'll ask what impact this is likely to have on the fight, and if it is in jeopardy of collapsing again altogether. We're also going to talk about Ryan Garcia. Some curious, I think it's fair to say, behaviour from him ahead of his big fight with Devin Haney next month. Is it part of the fight promotion, as Oscar De La Hoya is saying, or is it a wider cry for help? Plus, we're going to hear from the one and only Mr. Mystic Mac himself, Conor McGregor. He spoke with TalkSport yesterday to outline his plans on a return to the UFC. Loads, as always, to sneak in to this hour or so. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
I want to be one of the best, and I'm right there, so I'm up for all these big fights, and obviously there's some rematches that need to take place and some fights that need to happen. But yeah, I'm coming for all of the fights.
Anybody who drinks Prime is working for Satan, because you're giving them money so they can keep on creating these. You're giving them power. It's sick. Do not give Satan power. Do not go drink Prime. There's horrible chemicals. Prime tastes like straight.
Do we need all this? Do we need Phil the security guy and this security man and this?
I don't think so. This guy keeps trying to lift his hands. He's not very professional,
you raised your hands first on Monday. You tried to touch me.
No, I just felt your little so chippy tits because you're quite chubby.
Don't intimidate me. Stand down.
Who do you want to fight?
It's good to see Poirier get that win the weekend. That makes this the quadrilogy, and you know, we'll say the real trilogy, the finish of it, to put an end to it, to put a finish to it. That is a huge bout right now. So I anticipated the result would go that way, and I was happy to see it, and that's a big one for sure.
Mr. Gareth A. Davis, as I always do now, it's now a tradition. People expect and want to hear this. Give us an idea of what's happened in Gareth A. Davis's world in the last 7 days.
I went to the Boxing Board of Control, British Boxing Board of Control luncheon awards on Sunday afternoon, and I was sitting next to none other. You mentioned him just now, Josh Taylor. Show up, so I will update you on his eye.
Oh, I love that. That is proper insight. Yep. That is, yeah.
Sitting with him, had a good chat with Anthony Yard. Spoke to Joe Joyce on Saturday night after his victory, and assured him that at least he got the rounds in the bank. No doubt we will pick the bones out of that one as well, or how big the bones of the big men in the heavyweight division will be, whether they head to Saudi Arabia or not. What else I've been doing? It feels nonstop. I've forgotten some of the other things. I sat down, I forgot to tell you last time, I sat down with Andre Ward for an hour, who told me he would have loved the Joe Calzaghe fight, knows how difficult it would have been, and even revealed, and it's up on the TalkSport website now, even revealed to me that he was genuinely chasing a fight with Anthony Joshua 6 or 7 years ago.
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, I've heard that Andre Ward talk. He's been doing the rounds. Obviously, look, great speaker. Honestly, fantastic. But that AJ talk, I'm like, as good as Andre Ward is and how special he was, again, Olympic gold medalist, two-weight world champion. I mean, AJ is a mountain of a man. And sometimes, although skills pay the bills, size counts as well. So, yeah, I'm not quite sure even the special Andre Ward would have been able to outpoint Anthony Joshua, similar to obviously what Roy Jones Jr. did when he moved up in weight. Let's talk about the returns of Joe Joyce and Dillian White. Joe fighting, as you say, on that magnificent seven card, Dillian White fighting in Ireland on Sunday. Let's start with Joe first. Obviously, Joe's coming back off those two bruising defeats to Zhili Zhang when he was on the cusp, I thought, of a big fight, maybe even a world title fight. He lost, obviously, two. This was his comeback fight against Cash Ali, who is, I don't know, Southern area kind of level fighter, if you like. How do you, I'll give my honest opinion. I just want to get yours first. How do you think Joe looked in that fight? Stopped him in the 10th round, final round. How do you think Joe looked, honestly?
He looked like Joe always looks. He's a juggernaut. He's got no massive speed, but he's got incredible resilience. He wears people down. And that's what he did against Cash Ali, who didn't really come to fight, came to throw that big overhand right he throws down the middle. He knocked Paul Butlin out with a few years ago, like knocked him out cold. And he hit Joe with that a few times, came to survive, played possum. I think Joe was probably a little bit frustrated in the fight. But I think the key is, here's the key for me. And I spoke to him on Saturday night after that performance live on Talk Sport. And I think the key for him is, the positives anyway, are that he got rounds in the bank. He will have been emotionally as well as physically damaged by that, mentally perhaps as well, rather than emotionally damaged after those two defeats in a row by Zhili Zhang, not least the second one. Mm-hmm. The first one was on an eye that was closed. He becomes Cyclops suddenly in the ring that first fight, but he was devastatingly finished by Zhang. He knows he can beat Parker. He doesn't particularly want to fight Zhang again. He's expressed that to me, but I think he did enough to move himself into the heavyweight mix in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I said to everyone, I said this actually on my own YouTube channel, I said, we're so quick to write off fighters after a bad performance. I said, we all are guilty of that with maybe Joseph Parker, right? After not necessarily the Joe Joyce loss, but when he fought Jack Masson, he didn't look great in that fight. I think everyone was like, you know what? Joseph Parker's done. All of a sudden, you fast forward 14 months, Joseph Parker's the fourth best heavyweight in the world coming off the Wilder and Zhili Zhang results. I will say this about Joe Joyce, and I agree with everything you said. Look, Joe gets hit and Joe's a bit slow, but ultimately he kind of wears you down and gets the W. I did think that he would wear down Cash Ali a lot faster. That was my thing with it. I was thinking this won't go past the midway stage. You, though, did jump into that last week and you said to me, Ade, calm down. He's coming off a couple of bruising defeats. You just don't know what effect that will have on him. And I think we saw the effects of it. But ultimately, he's a big name. He's a big lump. On the big lump thing, 6 pounds? It's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, it's a lot. I mean, I think he fought Dubois and he was like 256, 260. 286 is too much.
Well, I think, you know, you said it. Cash Ali is British level.
Yeah.
And
at best.
You know, yeah. Well, I mean, it's not what you do. It's the way that you do. It's not what you say. It's the way that you say it, Addy. You know that. And I'm not going to deny him being British level. He's a dangerous fighter. And he was looking for that overhand right down the middle early on. Joe must have known about that punch because it's cash-in punch. So what do I think? You just mentioned the heavyweight division there and the rankings and all those scenarios. At the moment, do you put... I've still got Fury 1, Usyk 2, Joshua 3, Parker 4, Zhang 5. And then I've got...
Hergovich?
Kabayel. Hergovich, Kabayel, Wilder in that top 10. Daniel Dubois, Martin Bacoli, Jared Anderson. But still, there's Joe Joyce, Dillian White. Who am I forgetting? Deontay Wilder.
You said him.
Sanchez. Said, yeah. We're up to about 12, 13 fighters there.
Maybe Andy Ruiz, if he comes back, obviously
Yeah, he was there out in Saudi, wasn't he, for Day of Reckoning, if he does come back. Those are our 15 at the moment. I hope I haven't forgotten anyone who
it's
I should have.
It's not a bad 15.
But the great thing is, it's not bad 15, but, you know, they're all going to fight each other. We may still get this version of Anthony Joshua. We spoke about it last week. We've got to remember that styles make fights. And if Fury's fit and beats Usyk, I do think he'll fight Joshua next. I just think something will happen to enable that to happen. If it's a very close fight between Fury and Usyk, which is very plausible, Joshua may have to wait out 7, 8, 9, 10, maybe even a year. And Dillian White is a great opponent for him for that, if that comes to pass. Dillian White is a great opponent for, I know we haven't mentioned Dillian in his performance yet, but Dillian White against Joe Joyce even is a great fight.
Yeah, look, I mean, they're both there, right? I mean, for both of those. And I think Dillian White said it after that Christian Hamer win. Obviously, look, Hamer decided enough was enough after three rounds for Dillian. And I think he said it after. He's just got to stay busy. That's his first fight since November 2022. And that was Jermaine Franklin. That wasn't the best Dillian White we've seen. So for him, I, as much as I want him in there with a big name, and obviously he wants to get in there with a big name, he wants to make that money, and he's been out of the ring for a long time, get that money, stay busy. Just stay busy, please. Just fight. Like, that was a glorified sparring session. He really could put the gloves on again in a couple of months. Just stay busy and active.
The four best performances in the heavyweight division in the last 4 months are arguably Joseph Parker and Anthony Joshua. Joshua's fought four times in 11 months and Parker five times in 13 months, I think it is.
Yeah.
There you go. It says it all. You said it just now. Activity. Momentum is really key.
Yeah, no, indeed. Let's quickly run through, if we can, that magnificent seven card. Nathan Heaney held on to his title. Did you think he did enough to do that? It was close, wasn't it? I mean, obviously, it's a draw in the end, but do you think maybe Nathan Heaney was lucky, or rightfully so, it was a draw?
No, I think he pipped it by a round myself. Yeah. I think he was very good in the early rounds. He's so confident now. He looks physically amazing.
Yeah, he does.
I saw him on Sunday. I had a long chat with him on Sunday at the British Boxing Board of Control Awards. Congratulations to Shane McGuigan on Trainer of the Year and Lee Wood for Fighter of the Year. Spoke to all of them. I just said hello to Shane, but spoke to Nathan Heaney at length. He genuinely felt it shouldn't have been a split draw. I think he pipped it by a round, but he got knocked out of shape in the eighth round by Brad Paul, so you have to give total respect to. And he came on so strong in the latter stages of the fight, the last third, if you like, in the championship rounds. Terrific fight. Clearly one of the fights of the year so far. But like you say, overall, great card. Liam Davis, a fantastic victory for him against a very tough South American, but very tough. And I thought he did brilliantly.
Yeah, I don't think many thought he was going to get rid of Ayala that quick. And he's now called out anyone from Matchroom to be on this 5 versus 5 card. And I don't think there'll be a lot of Matchroom super bantamweights putting the hand up to fight Liam Davis, who right now looks very, very good. On that, you said, as you say, you're at the awards on the weekend, the British Boxing Board of Control Awards. Lee Wood getting Fight of the Year. Am I right in saying that Anthony Yard got Fight of the Year in his fight against Beterbiev?
He did, and obviously Beterbiev wasn't there, but Mel Tamagliogu from Top Rank, the PR lady, was there, head of media relations and PR and fighter relations, was there to collect the award for Artur Beterbiev. Obviously, he was under Bob Arum's Top Rank banner. But the first thing that Anthony, he's a very graceful man, Anthony Yard, a very kind of noble, it's a nobility about the man. Mm. There were lions in the camp from him, of course, but the thing he said was, well, it's great to get this trophy, but unfortunately I didn't win.
I like that.
But he put up, he's very humble, but he put on a terrific fight, as he will against Joshua Buatsi later this year. And we all hope that fight will be on the Warren Hearn banner in Saudi Arabia on June the 1st. I hope so, anyway.
All right, you're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we are going to discuss Ryan Garcia. The fighter has been displaying, I think, some concerning behaviour on social media ahead of his big fight with Devin Haney next month. Plus, we're going to hear from Conor McGregor, the MMA superstar, was the first guest on the TalkSport new YouTube channel earlier this week. But up next, though, Taylor versus Catchell has been postponed. We're going to get stuck into the latest setbacks surrounding the rematch.
You're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Adi Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. I think the biggest fight domestically this year, and I don't think there'll be one bigger. Maybe you could say Yar Boetsi, if that gets made, will be bigger. Probably will, actually. But the biggest one that we had scheduled was Josh Taylor versus Jack Catchrell 2. Obviously looked so much heat since the first fight, and it's just gone on and on and on. And finally, we got an announcement that the fight is on. I did the face-off. I was there at the press conference. It was exciting. Everyone was getting excited. It sold out the First Direct Arena. And then last week, we got the announcement that the fight has now been postponed because Josh Taylor has an eye injury. Now, I want to jump straight to you, Gareth, because you were at the British Boxing Board of Control Awards on the weekend. You're on the same table as Josh Taylor. You were eye to eye with the man. Talk to us about his eye, because I couldn't see anything. Is there an eye injury?
We sat next to each other for an hour, literally next to each other. Josh turned up. He was on the seat next to me. Mm. By design or not, I don't know. But we had a great chat. I've always got on very well with Josh. We have a very, very strong working relationship. And I said to him, you know, is there any question about this? You know, he said, no, I'm absolutely, I was nailed down to fight on April the 27th, as it was. And I said, what about 140 pounds, which I wanted to question him about. He said, look at me. And he looks really lean. And Josh does have a fullness of face when he's not training hard and in camp. And he looked ready for the fight, really lean, had that steely look in his eye. And as I say, we were inches apart for an hour. I said, so what's happened? He said, well, genuinely, I had this issue pop up with this pressure behind one of my eyes.
Okay.
That showed up last year. I had a minor procedure on it. I went for a checkup on it. There is a degree of, you know, when people have varifocal, I'm varifocal. You have to look down like this to look at script sometimes. Just lower your eyes. So it wasn't clear. He had the swelling or pressure behind his eyes dealt with. He went for his medical a few weeks ago and or a couple of weeks ago, and they said it hasn't quite reduced yet. And he said, honestly, I was advised not to, because explosion or damage in there could cause blindness. So they've advised me to wait for the swelling to go down. As I say, he looked in phenomenal shape. He didn't look like a guy who wasn't out of shape. He was teasing me for having a tequila on the afternoon, the lunch. And I fully respect and believe his medical condition. He's giving it that longer period for it to reduce. He said, yep, I want to fight at 140. I make the weight well. I really do want it to be at light welterweight. So, you know, game on. They do it again a month later. Well, May the... what will it be?
May 25th. So, yeah, basically a month, May 25th. Yeah, the fight.
Yeah, it's a month.
Yeah, the first fight was
good. But I do think, Addy, that if the swelling doesn't go down, I think they'll delay it again. Hopefully it won't.
And herein lies the problem, because, I mean, if there is sort of, again, swelling around the eye, what does that mean for sparring? Like, that means there's no sparring, surely, yeah, even with bigger gloves. So he's doing nothing. Yeah. I mean, he's staying in shape. I mean, even at the face-off, he looked in great shape. And I was like, oh my God, you look like you could be close to on weight already. And he says, Addy, I'm in great shape. He's clearly not afraid of Jack. All that nonsense about Josh is afraid of Jack needs to be thrown away. I mean, again, these guys would have gone for each other's throats if there weren't security there. Neither are scared of each other. But I guess if you are Jack Catchrell, I mean, you've had this with Josh before where, you know, you thought the fight was on again and you've waited and you've stalled your own career. And now you've been told, okay, just another month. But as you said, there is an asterisk. If the swelling doesn't go down, if he can't spar, then it might get postponed again. June, July. It's a problem, this one, isn't it? For Jack. It's a problem for Josh, obviously. But Jack's the one that needs this fight. Josh has had the big fights. Josh has done everything already in the sport. He's become undisputed. He's made a lot of money. It's Jack that's desperate for it.
And also, Addy, the W on the record belongs to Josh Taylor. That is the underlying issue here. And this is where we have to give respect in some ways to Josh Taylor, because he could have walked away from this. He's doing it and having a second fight because of the court of public opinion, because it is a big fight, because it does sell. You know, they obviously did it in Leeds. It was a venue they could do it in. Neither of them wanted to be the other to be the home fighter for this contest because it is going to be very close. Jack has a very awkward style. Does he have Josh Taylor's number? Josh has told me categorically, you watch what happens this time. I am going to make sure that people have no doubt whatsoever who is the better boxer. And it was also, we mentioned Lee Wood, Fighter of the Year, those two fights with Mauricio Lara, the one where he was pulled out by Ben Davison in the seventh and then came back and completely outboxed Mauricio. And then, of course, set about Josh Warrington in another terrific British fight. It's great to see Josh and Ben Davison talking to each other on the day as well, because they were on the next table to us, the Ben Davison Performance Center table. Really looking forward to the fight. It is a very big fight. There is Yard and Boatsy. There is Joshua and Fury, of course. They're very, very big fights. And so perhaps would be, if it happens, Nathan Heaney and Hamza Shearer's at some point at middleweight as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of talk. Obviously, you would have seen that Hamza was in Saudi Arabia. And there's a lot of talk at the moment, so much, it's not going to work. It's getting louder and louder that we are going to see Hamza Shearer versus Amo Williams in that 5 versus 5, potentially in Saudi. Hamza just looks fantastic for the weight. Good-looking kid. I wish him good luck because I think he's a bit of a superstar, Hamza Shearer. But back to this one with Josh. Obviously, you said he says he's comfortable at making 140. You will also remember the fact that after that Jack Catchell defeat, he did talk about the weight being a problem for him. That was 2 years ago. I mean, naturally, we just all get a bit bigger as we get older, don't we? And the weight gets harder to shift. Do you think that is a problem for him, though? One, I mean, it's a problem, right? Making weight's an issue anyway, but getting down to 140, he's a tall guy as well. I think if you've not been around Josh, obviously you have, but for those listeners that are listening that haven't, he's tall. He's about 5'10". He's not small. So I do wonder if there is a problem getting into the weight class.
Yeah, and he's 31 now, of course. You know, I think he's close to 6 foot. I mean, I'm, you know, 5'10 on his resume, but he's a very long, lean fighter.
Yeah.
Remember, he's got a long torso. He's not overly muscled as well. He is the Tartan Tornado. He's a terrific warrior. And I think, you know, you wouldn't always associate this with Joe McNally, his new trainer, but he says he does make the weight fine. I think he was uncomfortable after 5 rounds against Teo Lopez last June, a fight that I was at and working on. And I think Lopez was at his most brilliant on that night. And Josh says that something wasn't right with him that week. And I saw him earlier in the week. I was doing, as you do, I was doing the television interviews with him and doing the build-up. And you get a lot of access to people. You see black eyes, you see little cuts on them, you get little indications when the cameras aren't on what mood they're really in. And, you know, I think he was a little bit over emotional in the week. He can get very kind of invidiously emotional. Yeah, very pent up. What's his name? Hank. Hank comes to the surface. No, he seemed very pleased, very happy to me. And it was, as I say, the access, let me emphasise this, the access we get to people, you know, having worked closely in the sport, and, you know, it is a brilliant thing, but we earn the fighters' respect to be able to speak to them and then be very open with us. And I was very impressed with him because I was saying to him, Eddie, it's one of the things, my rule, as you know, is I'll only say about someone what I will say to their face, and I will always keep that rule because then you can just keep it consistent. So if you have been critical of someone, you have to ask them that critical question when you're with them. And very often, it's better to wait till you're on your own with them rather than in a large group of people, because then that you have that intimacy to be able to ask it. And I did say to him, are you sure you shouldn't be having this at 147? And he went, no way on earth. I wanted this at 140. I asked for it at 140. Even Eddie Hearn was surprised he wanted it at 140. This is the way I'm going to do it. This is the weight I wanted at.
Finally, very quickly on this one, if you can, Gareth. Obviously, this fight sold out in 2 days. First Direct Arena is, 13,000? It easily could have done the O2 or the AO Arena. Is this a bigger fight than Yard Boatsy?
I think it's Boatsy and Yard. Yeah. Because we get a guy that could go up. I mean, I fancied Yard a few weeks ago to win that fight. It's so hard to pick, if I'm honest. I go back and forth. Ask me next week. and I might say Yard. The great thing is, whoever wins that is in line to face the winner of Beterbiev and Bivol.
I don't think they are. I can see a certain David Benavidez jumping the queue big time. If he comes
really?
100%. If he beats Vozdik, he jumps the queue 100%. All right,
and he goes up to light heavy. That's amazing.
Yeah. All right, you listen to Vine Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, we're going to talk Ryan Garcia after some odd behaviour from the fighter on social.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Media. Welcome back. You're listening to Vine Extra on TalkSport 2. Adi Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. All right, let's talk Ryan Garcia. Scheduled to fight Devin Haney, obviously the current WBC 140-pound champion, coming off that really good win against Regis Prohvir. They're scheduled to throw down at the Barclays Center in New York, which is nice. It's good to see that the Barclays getting some love again. All these big fights seem to be going to T-Mobile or anywhere else in Vegas, or as we have seen in recent times, Saudi Arabia. But New York's got this one, or have they? Just because Ryan Garcia, Gareth, has shown interesting character traits in the last couple of weeks on social media. Now, Oscar would make you believe that this is all sort of part of selling the fight, which I don't believe at all. I think it's nonsense. I think he's clearly going through something. And I think people should, I don't know, like, I was asked an honest question about this, and I said, look, he should be pulled from the fight. Obviously, DAZN don't want to hear that because I work on the fight, and it's a big fight for DAZN, but it looks like he's going through something. He's a young man, and I almost feel like he needs the support of people not to be thrown into a boxing match with Devin Haney.
It's a very complex issue. Mm. I'm not a psychologist or a psychotherapist. If he was my son, and he has very loving parents. Yep. I've met his mum and dad and his brother, and I think he's got more than one brother, but I certainly met one of his brothers. They're a very loving family. If I was his father, I'd probably want to sit down and talk to him. But I don't feel like I'm near enough to him right now to be able to make a judgment call on whether I have the right to say that he shouldn't fight or not. It may be even worse for him if he doesn't go ahead and fight. We know that he's had a period away from the sport before when he wasn't feeling good about himself, when he had anxiety in his life. He may just be acting out the anxiety that he's feeling. Maybe better out than in, I would always say.
Yeah, agreed on that. Agreed.
Better to talk. Some of the things are a little bit zany. Some of the subjects, we won't go into them today because some of them are kind of probably for the chair, if you know what I mean, to sit down and chat about in the chair. It's a complex one. I think The WBC needs to have a think about it. The commission in New York needs to have a think about it. I think his promoter needs to talk to him at length. But more than anyone, I would like to see Ryan with his parents. His mother was at the press conference, wasn't she?
Yeah.
For the press conference launch. I think, were you at one of them or two of them?
No, neither. Neither. It was Ak and Barak were there covering it.
Yeah, well, I really wish I'd been up close, because I've spoken to him and interviewed him probably 5 or 6 times now in his career, and really like him. He's a very, very affable person, very open person. And I'm skirting around the houses here because I don't have an answer.
My concern is what you said at the top, that we've seen, or he's had issues before, which have been very open, very public. And if there wasn't a case of we've seen something with Ryan before, I would have said, okay, maybe, you know what, maybe he is just trying to, you know, amp the fight up a little bit by doing this, right? Everyone's talking about it. And what do they say? Bad publicity is good publicity. But because we've seen him have episodes before, I just worry for him. I've seen him on Instagram cry. And I feel like it's a crying for help, if I'm honest with you. But obviously there is so much money involved in this fight that there will be maybe 1 or 2 people that I say, okay, let's pull him from the fight, i.e. mum and dad. And there'll be others that are like, well, 1 second, let's get him in the ring. And I just feel like we need to be very careful here. And I don't know who makes the final decision on it, because we're so close to the fight now, but it just looks like a young man that's struggling here. And I think, well, this sport can be dangerous enough, let alone if someone hasn't got the mental... I mean, we saw it with Oliver McCall, didn't we? Remember when he broke down in the ring? And it just broke down in the ring and we all saw it. And it's like, okay, what's going on here? And I almost feel like we need to save a lot of these fighters, because it's too dangerous a sport to let someone go in the ring who's mentally maybe not 100% there.
Yeah, well, I recall that. I think, you know, they always call it a mental breakdown. He was obviously pulled out of the... I think it was Mills Lane that day.
I think it was,
He was pulled out. I think it was Mills Lane. I'm just checking it. I think one of the things that was in plain sight in the last few days that I've seen with Ryan, when he said, no one has the right to stop me smoking weed. Mm. Well, the problem with that, and I think if he is smoking marijuana and he tests positive for it in the lead up to this fight, he may well be pulled from the fight anyway, because it's a banned substance.
Yeah.
And he may also be fined for doing so. Keyshawn Davis had that, didn't he? He had a fight annulled after he tested positive for marijuana. So we may end up not having the fight anyway. I thought that was very much in plain sight. That's even in the last 4 or 5 days, that video, I think. Mm. Whether he's stopped now, I don't know. I think it has to be out of his system 14 weeks or something.
Is that a worry in itself? At the presser, he kind of said, look, I smoke a bit of weed, I drink a little bit. And I remember Devin Haney saying, well, you think that's a good thing? Like, you're saying it like it's a good thing. Like, you know, like, you're not supposed to be doing those things. I mean, you just spoke about the great Andre Ward at the top of the show. He wouldn't dare touch anything. Like, as clean as a whistle. And even that worries me with Ryan. Look, I love Ryan. I've been around Ryan for the last couple of years. I've covered a few of his fights recently, and he's a great young guy. And he's got a great career in front of him. I mean, a stunningly Hollywood-looking guy that's got the future at his feet. I just wonder if maybe for his own safety, he should be pulled from this. But look, again, as you said, we're not psychologists. Maybe this is all a stunt, I don't know, but from the outside looking in, and I'm talking the very outside looking in, it just doesn't look great.
No, it doesn't. And obviously Shakur Stevenson's put his name in the hat to come in. And
Conor Benn did as well.
Conor Benn as well. Great replacements, really. Mm. I mean, you know, I could see Eddie sliding Conor Benn into the ring for that one.
Yeah, this is the thing. This is why I'm happy you just said this. It's not like Devin doesn't have a number of great other options. Like, even if Ryan says, you know what, Conor Benn will slide in, that's a pay-per-view. Shakur Stevenson will slide in, that's a pay-per-view. And then there's non-pay-per-view guys that will jump in at 140 as well. So there's so many options. It isn't a case of the event's dead. If Conor Benn slides in, the Barclays will still be packed. Shakur will probably pack it out even more, because there's that intrigue about Shakur Devin that's been going back the last couple of years. So we're not desperate to see Devin versus Ryan.
In the best possible world, there's still enough time if a decision is made soon. What we don't want is Ryan having to pull out in the week of the fight, and then they've got to find a replacement who doesn't really you know, come up to speed. We've just lost Tim Tew and Keith Thurman on the 30th of March, haven't we?
Yeah.
And obviously Sebastian Fundora is coming in now. Fine, that's okay. But Tim Tew is probably the leading Australian boxer right now, and he's on his way up. He's marching at the moment. Obviously, those great genes of his father Kostya. The Aussies out of Siberia, the Siberian DNA in them. But I think it's Siberia anyway. I could be wrong on that, but it's just the old the muscle memory is coming back, and I think it's Siberia. But if they are going to make a decision on it, I think they need to do it soon so that we do get a Conor Benn who does a full camp, or a Shakur Stevenson. I think it's almost too big a fight with Shakur for that to happen right now. But it's a very interesting story at the moment. And, you know, in some ways, we have to be very careful about looking after our fighters, because many, many, many of them are vulnerable. And they're vulnerable when they're young, they're vulnerable in their careers, and they're vulnerable afterwards. And it's not always in plain sight, and it's not always on view, because these are the tough guys of our world. So I hope the right thing happens anyway, but I can't sit here and go, pull him out, because I know what's inside his head, because I really don't.
Right. Well said. I think both of us handled that very, very well. All right, you listen to Vine Extra on TalkSport 2. Up next, we're going to hear from the one and only Mr. Mystic Mac, Conor McGregor.
What's the noise with Chandler? Because obviously you did so.
Chandler, of course. Yeah, that's it. I would assume that would be the fourth one.
I'd like to take this chance to apologise to absolutely nobody.
The opponent doesn't matter. I just wish for a nice run-up, you know, a bit of transparency, and let me go over it again.
We're not here just to take part. We're here to take over.
I need discussion or conversation, because, you know, if I lose interest and I'm not getting anything back, I just shut off, my man.
Listen, we're not here to take part, my friend.
We're here to take over.
Welcome back to Fighter Extra. Adi Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. Let's switch now to MMA. TalkSport's brand new MMA YouTube channel is live right now, and we're kicking it off in style. Adam Catchell is joined for an exclusive interview with the biggest name in the sport, Mr. Conor McGregor. He tells us his plans for a comeback and why he isn't happy with the UFC.
Obviously, I've got the Diaz trilogy. That's what I had said for the Sphere. You know, there was cold water put on that publicly. Off the bat, and I wasn't happy with that. So I need discussion or conversation, because you know, if I lose interest and I'm not getting anything back, and I just drift off, my man. So I hope I can get something in and get dialed in.
What's the noise with Chandler? Because obviously you did tough.
Chandler, of course. Yeah, that's it. I would assume that would be the first one.
Yep.
I would assume that would be the first one. Maybe. Makhachev and Poirier fight for the title in July. You know, I don't think Poirier will be ready. He said something about some ribs or something like that. And then there was a bit going on the head and whatnot after the bell. Maybe some reflection after he got knocked. It was a bad knockout he suffered in that fight against Gaethje. And so you just don't know where anyone's at really mentally or whatnot. But again, I'll revert back to this. That's because that just happened the weekend. That's why it's recently in my head and why I'm speaking on it. It's the opponent doesn't matter. I just wish for a nice run-up, you know, a bit of transparency, and let me go over it again.
Again, you can go and watch that full interview on TalkSport's new MMA YouTube channel, which I'm sure Mr. Gareth A. Davis will be a big part of going forward. You know what? I'm going to say something that I don't know if you would say, I'm not quite sure if Adam would say, but I'll say it. He looks in a bad way in that interview. He looks in a I don't know. And this is me speaking, not as a broadcaster, as a fan of Conor McGregor. I've been a fan of his, as everyone has for years. And there wasn't anyone better on the mic than Conor McGregor. Like, when he spoke, he just grabbed your attention. And I thought he was absolutely sensational. That's not the same Conor McGregor that I remember, who just took a room, would walk in a room and the room would light up. I almost feel like he needs to fight. There's some people that I feel like if they don't fight, their minds sort of go elsewhere. And we know there's so many boxers like that. Tyson Fury spoke about this. Billy Joe Saunders has spoken about this in the past. And I almost feel watching Conor there in that interview, again, you can go and watch the interview on TalkSport's MMA YouTube channel. I think he looks in a bad way.
Look, he's had a busy week promoting the Roadhouse movie. He was very, very good in that. He kind of hijacked Instagram and got it really out there. I do agree with you. One of the things I thought in that interview was, I'm used to Conor being very, very self-assured. Mm. And I don't think we heard it in that interview. I think, there's a reason for that. I'm not sure that he knows what he wants to do in fight terms at the moment. For a long time, I mean, he was on fire when I spoke to him at Day of Reckoning last December at ringside when he really took center stage with Cristiano Ronaldo, His Excellency Turkey Elçay, Eddie Hearn, and they were all sitting back thinking, oh my God, this guy's got so much energy, I can't compete, if you recall that night. I don't know. He's so wealthy. He lives and breathes in silk pajamas. I know he trains still. I think he's still a wonderful character, and he's been wonderful for the sport. And it's great to see him around boxing and MMA on the big occasions. I mean, I've gone full circle with him from when he was, you know, a trainee plumber. Just been finished as a trainee plumber and was on the dole.
And that's why I ask you, Gareth, because you've known him since the get-go. So I'm not talking, I'm talking, you've known him since Cage Warriors. I'm talking like going back then. Obviously, a lot changes. You get older, you make a lot of money. I get it, right? So many things can happen. But I don't know. Again, I say this as a fan of someone that I want to see him back to his absolute. Look, whether or not he can be the best in the octagon again is a whole different discussion, because the sport moves on so quickly, evolves so quickly. I'm just talking about him, removing sport from it. I'm just talking about Conor McGregor. I want to see that guy come back. Do you know what I mean? Or am I just reading it differently? Yeah.
No. I think it's there sometimes. Mm. But also, he doesn't need to sell himself anymore. He's Mark IV now. Does he need the Michael Chandler fight? Mini Mike Tyson trying to knock his head off? Does he need the fourth fight with Dustin Poirier? Does he need to come back with a broken leg? His businesses are flying. Does he need a third fight with Nate Diaz? No. Would he rather just have a knockabout in boxing in an exhibition bout with Manny Pacquiao?
KSI.
With KSI. Yeah, there's so many options. Yeah. And at the end of the day, on Friday in Belfast, Bellator Challenger Series, they've been bought by PFL. Anderson and Moore, Pitbull and Kennedy are fighting. They're going to battle it out for a few $100,000, I imagine. Conor McGregor doesn't need to do that anymore. He transformed the sport. He doesn't suffer from that situation that many other boxers and MMA fighters have, which is that they finish the sport and they've got to come back for one more fight, or they've got to come back and do it. He doesn't have to. No. And I'm sure that plays on his mind.
And I actually don't want to see him in the octagon again, just because he'll be fighting guys that do this full time, that are hungry, that train every single day, that maybe don't live the lifestyle that Conor does. You know, most times we see him, he's got a drink in his hand. Look, and I'm not begrudging it. I would do exactly... Give me $350 million and I tell you now, my life would be exactly like his. But I'm not a fighter. And at this stage of Conor's career, he's not even a part-time fighter. So ultimately, I think I'd rather leave the memories that I have of him, let them be there, rather than see him come back and fight Pitbulls and Chandlers and the rest.
If you take his fighting highlight reel and you take his promotional highlight reel, he belongs in the same sphere as your Muhammad Ali's in the past, your Tyson Fury's, your Floyd Mayweather's, your Jack Johnson's, your seminal figures in the sport, in combat sports. He moved the needle in MMA almost more than anyone else, going all the way back to the Randy Couture's, the Tito Ortiz's, the George St. Pierre's. He didn't just take a nation. He carried his nation, obviously his Irish nation, to Vegas to major fight nights. I mean, it was extraordinary to be around him in that ascent to the summit of the UFC.
Yeah, I don't think there's been a bigger superstar.
And that'll never change. He'll always have that legacy. So I just hope for a great life for him and that he creates great things from the extraordinary wealth he's created for himself by getting onto that UFC platform and becoming a megastar.
No, he's done very, very well. Again, you can watch that full interview with Adam Catterall on TalkSport's new MMA YouTube channel. Before we go, Gareth, very quickly, obviously, big show this Saturday in Sheffield. Obviously, look, a big boxing hub, not trying to find its next new superstar. It's almost as though Kell Brook's passing the baton to Dalton Smith, who takes on Jose Cepeda. We've got Ishmael Davis versus Troy Williamson, Sandy Ryan versus Terry Harper, which is an intriguing one, and a couple more on that card as well. This is a big, big step up, I think, for Dalton Smith. I mean, Cepeda, you know, he's not done. I mean, he got beat by Richardson Hitchens and Regis Progre, but they're very, very good 140 guys. This will be interesting to see how Dalton comes through, a guy that I think still got quite a lot to offer.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the day that Terry Flanagan beat him at lightweight in a world title, where Cepeda had an injured shoulder that day. And like you say, he's got a fantastic victory over the very tough Ivan Baranchik. I think that might have been a fight of the year way back.
That was an amazing fight. Oh my God.
Amazing fight. And the thing is about Jose Cepeda, three times he's fought for world titles and lost. But like you say, two. Josh Taylor's opponent, Jose Ramirez, he lost to him. He lost to Regis Progre, and he lost to Terry Flanagan, all at world title level. He's 34. He's had over 40 fights. He's a very, very strong stylist, and he's a great marker right now for Dalton Smith, who's 15-0 with 11 knockouts, who's the kind of fighter that stands in front of you, walks you down. He's like a man carrying an axe. He's coming with an axe for you. He's a very powerful fighter, is Dalton Smith. And he brings that axe, and he's going to chop at you and chop at you. And I think he'll stop Cepeda in the late rounds. And if I can go to one other fight on the card, and I'm going to go against the grain and against the odds, Sandy Ryan, very, very tough, 6-1-1 in her career. She's had a great run in the last year and a half. Deserves to have beaten Jessica McCaskill, in my view. But I think against Terry Harper, who's been the weight above, been the weight or a couple of weights below, going for a three-weight world championship, 15 fights into her career, I just think Harper may be able to outbox and frustrate Sandy Ryan. But it's a terrific women's fight. And if Harper wins it, three-weight world champion. What an achievement for her. And if Ryan wins, it'll be down to her relentlessness, pursuit of the victory, not boxing skills so much as just a tenacious, ruthless hustler in the ring. Really looking forward to the card. I'll be in TalkSport in the studio on Saturday night across your work on DAZN.
Great stuff. As always, Gareth, great to have you on. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone that's listened as well. We'll see you again same time next week.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.